When I was in middle school, I was in the sixth grade, I was walking home, and a group of boys followed me up the hill. They surrounded me in the alley, and they were all screaming at me and yelling at me and telling me to fight the guy that they pushed out in the middle to fight me. But I was absolutely terrified. I'd never been in a fight in my life, other than with maybe my brother. And so I just stood there. I didn't know what to do. Suddenly the guy comes up and hits me in the face, knocks me on the ground, and I laid there as they tore a pop can in half and cut my face. This was the world that I was in. It wasn't too long after that that I started wanting to fit in really bad. I was almost willing to do anything to fit in. I remember one day, I got invited over to my neighbor's house. Everyone was smoking cigarettes. Now, I knew that my mom had told me, never smoke cigarettes, stay away from alcohol. Stephen, don't get into the partying with people that are in school. Stay away from that kind of music. Don't be in that environment. But in that moment, I was so tired of being the kid that didn't fit in. I was so tired of my life. I was so tired of the fact that everything was going wrong. My parents were divorced. I was working my first job at 12 years old and up, delivering papers and watching my mom struggle, going through counseling and living on medication, being depressed because my parents' marriage had failed. Here I was helping my mom raise three kids. Here I was feeling like I was the man of the house. My older brother had left home. Everyone at school picked on me. I didn't fit in, and I felt like God had abandoned me. I felt like it was time for me to take my life into my hands. It was time for me to start making big boy decisions. And so in that moment with those people sitting in that room offering me the cigarettes, I remember thinking in my mind, hey, you know what? It's okay for me to smoke. I'm the man of the house. I have to go through this anyway. And I'm tired of being picked on. I want to fit in so bad. And I remember that day. I remember making that first decision where I reached out for that cigarette. But it wasn't too long after that that other things started happening. Pretty soon I realized that in the school that I went to that there was drug dealing going on. Some of the boys wanted to get me into helping them deal these drugs. They told me that they'd give me money for it. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. I can make more money. And so I began to start trusting my own wisdom. I began thinking that I was smart enough to make decisions, that I could make enough money to help my mom at home, that I could smoke cigarettes, that I could get involved in drugs, that I could start hanging out at parties. And I just would never let my mom know about it. I would make sure I kept my grades up, and I would just keep living this life. And so it wasn't very long before I began to live a double life. You know, I can remember in that moment in my life, 14, 15, 16 years old, going through all of these changes. I can remember those moments where I was thinking to myself, this is something that I shouldn't do. This is something that I don't want to be a part of. And let me tell you the honest truth. Vegas only looks beautiful from far away because you can see all of its lights. But when you start making the decisions to smoke, to drink, to get involved in the partying, to get involved in the worldly lifestyle, you start listening to that music, you start hanging out with those people, you keep making those decisions, even though in your heart and in your mind, the Holy Spirit keeps telling you, Stephen, don't go this way. This isn't my plan for your life. I have something better for you. The more you make those decisions, the more you do that stuff, the quieter that voice gets, but the uglier the world that you're in gets. Because I'm going to tell you what's behind Vegas's lights. Death. Death and destruction, pain, misery, and consequences. You see, the devil wants us to believe that we can make decisions to do whatever we want. He wants us to think that we're smart enough to make decisions for our life, that we can actually see what the best thing is that we can have out of this world. And we believe that when we look at Vegas's lights and we take his temptation, we think, ooh, the world looks so fun. When we go after that, what we find on the other side is that behind those lights, that the world is really a dark and ugly place in need of a savior and in need of love. You know, the world really is a place that needs one man to change the whole world. I can remember when the storms of my life had me feeling like I was a man drowning at sea. I remember the moment when the problems in my life had me convinced that I was wrong. I no longer believed that one man could change the whole world. And one thing was for certain, I knew that if one man could change the whole world, that man wasn't me. You know, in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This part of the story is really hard for me to tell you. In fact, it's a part of my testimony I've never told anyone anywhere. But as I prayed, I really felt like I needed to talk about this tonight. Because as I began to compromise and compromise and compromise and make all of these decisions to do all of these things in my life, It became easier and easier and easier to allow peer pressure to cause me to make decisions to follow after the world and after the enemy's plans for my life, rather than believing that God actually had a plan for my life. And you know, the most hurtful and painful thing about all of it is as we make compromises and we start choosing sin, we begin to actually believe that we're not good enough for God anymore. Because right after the enemy tempts you into making decisions that are against God's plan for your life, he then begins to point at you and tell you how much God can't love you anymore because of how dirty and awful you are because of all of the decisions that you've made. And that's exactly how I was feeling at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. Well, after years of partying and making all of these decisions, one night I was hanging out with all of my friends at a party, and I got really incredibly intoxicated. And all of them were egging me on because a girl was showing me interest. And that night, I made the decision to do something that was totally against everything inside of me. I made the decision to sleep with that girl. Now, from the time I was a 15-year-old little boy, my mom had always told me the way a man should treat a woman. She had always told me that God's plan for my life was to wait until I got married, to be with a woman. And after that experience, after that night, I felt incredibly guilty. I felt totally awful. Even after all of the bad decisions I'd made in my life, I walked away from that feeling bad about her, feeling bad about myself, and being afraid that if my mom ever found out what I had done, that she would totally disown me and hate me. I felt like I had to keep my life even more of a secret. Well, long story short, 3 days later, I was at school, living my double life, going through the classes, getting the good grades, being choir president, and doing all of the things that I would do when I was not out there living my other life. And all of a sudden, I look at the door, and outside the door, the girl is standing there looking through the window. She was waving to me to come out of class. And so I walk out of class, I come to the door, and I'm standing out in this breezeway. And right there in that breezeway, the young lady looked me in the face, and she said, "Stephen, I'm pregnant with your child." My mind was blown. I was totally freaking out. I didn't even know how to respond. My face fell. I got really upset. What is my mother going to do? My entire life is over. I didn't want anyone to know. And she saw my response, and it really hurt her, and it upset her. So she ran away crying. I went home. I didn't say anything. I felt like I couldn't tell anyone in the world what was happening. The next thing you know, I didn't see her anymore. She was gone. Month after month after month, I didn't see this girl, and all the while I was thinking to myself, somewhere out there in this world, there's a girl who's pregnant with my child, and I don't even know where she is, and I feel like I can't tell anyone. I felt all alone, I felt scared, and I didn't know what to do. You know, once Satan tempts you into sinning, he then tries to convince you that God's plan for your life is no longer possible. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, you know, I've heard a lot of people, I've heard married couples, you know, when I went through Academy, I listened to people talk about, you know, don't drink, don't do drugs, wait until you get married to have sex. I heard all of those things, and it always bothered me because it would always be a married couple. It was always somebody who was already married and in a relationship, and I would think to myself, man, you know, you're telling me to wait, you're telling me not to make these decisions, but you're married. That's easy for you to say. You know, and as I felt like my parents' divorce had happened, the enemy had come into my life, everything was ruined in my life, and I thought I was a big boy, I thought I was a man, I thought I could make my own decisions. But the thing that I want to tell you tonight is that as I kept making all of those compromises and those decisions to follow after the plan of this world and to let people influence me into making decisions that were against God's plan for my life, the more that I did that, the more I got separated from God, the more that I felt like I could never follow God's plan for my life again. I used to think that God was asking me to be the man that would change the whole world for him. But standing before you here today, I know that one man already has changed the whole world, and his name is Jesus Christ. You know what? It was 10 years later. I'd actually been asked, or it was probably more than 10 years later. It was quite a bit of time later, and I'd been asked to come back to my hometown to share my story about God, how God had taken me from being a person who had gone from living in a Christian household to becoming a drug dealer, to getting involved in all sorts of things, to even being totally terrified that maybe there was a child out there that was mine and I didn't even know where he was. And all of these years later, after all of these things that happened to me through my testimony, which you'll hear about this week, I ended up getting invited back to my hometown to preach. And I went to this gas station to fuel up my car just before I left town after the weekend, and suddenly somebody called out my name. That night, I discovered in this parking lot that what had been told to me all of those years previously, that the girl was pregnant with my child, was not true. She had lied to me because she was hurt about my reaction, and she was trying to convince me to stay into a relationship with her. But there's one thing that I want to let you know. I was totally relieved. But I went through years and years and years of guilt, feeling like it was possible that someone had actually aborted my child, or that my child was out there somewhere, and that I didn't know about it. It was something that I never told anyone about. You know, when we make decisions to go against God's plan for our life, Jesus does forgive us, and he can make us reborn, he can make us renew, but the one thing that I can tell you tonight is that the consequences for sin absolutely do follow you. As you look at what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden, yeah, they made the decision to eat the apple. They made the decision to think that they knew a better plan for their life than God. And yes, even though God loved them, even though he gave his only begotten son for them, look at all the pain and misery that has been caused by that one decision not to trust God. You know, what I want to say to you tonight, UCA, is this. It's really hard. It's really hard to open up my heart and share with you some of the really bad decisions that I've made in my life that were against God's plan for my life. And yes, I still suffer those consequences today for the decisions that I've made. But the beautiful thing about God is that when we give our hearts back to him, no matter how low we go in our life, when we say, God, you know what? I'm going to be brave enough to wait on you. I'm going to be brave enough to trust your plan for my life. It doesn't matter how low you go. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter what decisions. God can take you from that place. He can give you a new life. And he can lead you all the way from that place where you feel like you're not even good enough to look up from your shoes, to look people in the face. And he can make you brave enough to stand in front of an entire school and tell the truth. God's plan really is better for your life. You know what? I want to encourage you with something that my mom told me that I was a little boy. This is what I'm going to say to the guys. Every single time you ever take a girl out on a date, you're taking God's daughter out on a date. Every single time. And you know what? Every single time you date a girl, every time you're in a relationship, every time you tell a girl you love her, every time you interact with a woman, you're either raising her standards or you're lowering her standards. And so, men of UCA, I want to challenge you tonight to ask God to make you brave enough to wait. I want to ask you tonight to let God make you brave enough to follow his plan for your life and your relationships with women. And I want to ask you tonight that you'll be brave enough that every single time you like a girl, every single time you want to be in a relationship with a girl, that before you approach her to be in that relationship, that you'll take it to God in prayer, and that you'll ask him to help you to be a man who will raise her standards for the man that she's going to spend the rest of her life with rather than lowering them. That's the kind of legacy that you want to ask God to help you leave. Ladies, I want to talk to you tonight, and I want to tell you that when a guy tells you that he loves you and he tries to talk you into doing physical things in a relationship that are against God's plan for your life, he's not telling you that he loves you. What he's telling you is that he loves himself. And the same thing goes for you, ladies. Don't make the decision to get into physical relationship with men outside of marriage that's against God's plan. Because when you do that, it's not love. When you make love to somebody outside of a covenant commitment, when you do that before you actually make a commitment that you're going to be with that person forever, it's a selfish decision that only sets you up for pain. How do I know that? Well, I could sit here tonight and tell you a bunch of scriptures out of the Bible that tell you what happened when we decide to live promiscuous lives. But how about I just sum it up and say it like this? When you make the decision to follow after the world's plan for your life, it will end up destroying your life. And I can tell you that from personal experience. But the thing that hurts me most is it doesn't just destroy your life, but it destroys the life of the person that you make those decisions with. Friends, tonight I want to ask you to ask God to help you to be brave enough to wait, not just for yourself, but ask God to give you love in your heart for the people around you. Men, ask God to open your eyes and show you that the ladies that you're with here at UCA are his daughters. Women, when you look at men, when you look at the guys that God has put you around at this academy, ask God to open your eyes and to help you start seeing the men at this academy as sons of God. You know why? Because I believe that God's thoughts towards us are actually better than our thoughts. I actually believe that God's plan for my life is way better than my own plan. And you know what? When I start thinking that I can trust myself instead of trusting God, I begin to settle for way less than what God actually wants to give me for my life. And how do I know that? I know it from personal experience. Because 10 years ago, I was standing on a street corner in San Diego, California. My home was a box. I couldn't look up from my shoes or look anyone in the face because I'd let the enemy convince me I was no one. I'd made so many mistakes, I was so broken, and I looked back and I saw my parents getting that divorce and all of the things that happened to me. But you know what happened to me on that street corner? God called out to me, and he said, "My son, I have a plan for you. And if you'll believe me, you may never see your parents back together in this world. You may never be able to unmake all of the mistakes you've made. You may never have your life in this world exactly how it was before. But if you'll trust me, if you'll wait on me, then I will raise you up on eagle's wings, and I will help you to soar to heights in this life and in eternity that are higher than anything that you could ever dream for yourself." You know what? No eye has seen, nor ear heard, the plans that God has for us in Christ Jesus. If we'll make a decision to trust God, then he'll take what we think we deserve, and he'll say, "No, you're my son, you're my daughter." And he'll show us his higher plans and his higher ways for our life. Friends, 10 years ago, I was standing on a street corner. And tonight I'm telling you that when you make a decision to wait on God, he can give you a better plan for your life, one that you could never dream of or imagine. You know, and when you look at the road that you got to go down in life when you choose to follow God, it may look like he's leading you out into a desert, like he did the children of Israel years ago. But if you'll trust him and you'll follow him, instead of spending 40 years in the wilderness, instead of living a life making decisions and regrets, you can live a life following his plan for your life and find the promised land in 40 days. Tonight, I hope that what you've heard me say is that if we will be brave enough to wait on the Lord, if we will trust his plan for our life, that we will not only be able to live a better life in this world, but you know what? We'll be able to help the people around us make the decision to follow God and his plan for their life. I don't know if there's anyone sitting here tonight that's made decisions they regret. I don't know if any of you have made the decision to drink, smoke cigarettes, or get involved in relationships in ways that you shouldn't. But I want to tell you this. No matter what's happening in your life, if you'll trust God, and you'll ask him to help you to make decisions to wait on him, he'll not only give you a better life, but he will help you to lead the people around you to make the decision to follow God too. You know what? What God promised me 10 years ago, in closing, when I was living in a box, was this: "Stephen, if you'll quit trusting yourself and you'll wait on me, I promise you that I will let Jesus live in and through you so that your family can see all of the things I do through your life." And as a result of that, maybe you won't have your family back together in this world, but I can promise you that I'm strong enough to give you your family in eternity. When I look out at all of you tonight, UCA, here's one last thing I want to share with you. When I look at you, I don't just see men and women who are going to high school. I see sons and daughters of God. And because I've given my life to God and I've asked him, "God, I want you to make me new every day. I want you to put me in the right place at the right time, saying the right thing to the right person so that one more can follow Jesus. God, I want to be reborn. I want to be your son. I want to follow your plan for my life." And as a result of doing that, everyone who comes to believe in Jesus, as a result of me leading people to him, gets to become part of my family too. You know, the one thing that mattered to me in life was family, and the enemy tore my family apart. But because 10 years ago I decided to trust God and his plan for my life, now I get to go all over the place telling people about one who conquered the grave, one who, no matter what you've done in your life, can change your life and can reconcile you to his plan for your life. And you know what that plan is? That plan is to be your best friend and to give you an equal inheritance of his kingdom and all of eternity. Friends, tonight, I want to ask you to be brave enough to wait on God, because he has a plan for you, and that plan is life, and he wants to give it to you for all of eternity. Friends, don't make the decision to give up that relationship with God. Don't let the enemy use you to break that relationship with God for somebody else. Instead, ask God to make you brave enough to wait on him and make you someone who will lead you to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that tonight, if there was someone in this room that needed to hear this, I really believe we all did, including me, because I'm not above remembering that you really do have a plan for my life, that it's better than what I would even give myself. It's better than what I even think I'm worth. God, help us to see each other through your eyes, and more than that, help us to let you love us and to see ourselves through your eyes. Because every single person sitting in this room, no matter what's happened in their life, no matter what they're going through, is a son and a daughter of God. Lord, help us to put our faith in you, because you really are the one who not only has the ability to give us a better life in this world, you not only have the ability to cause your kingdom to come and your will be done in our life in this world, but what you want to give us is eternity with each other as family in a place where we have an equal inheritance of the entire universe. God, help us to live lives that teach people to wait on you and trust you. Help us to live lives that value each other and love each other and respect each other only as we can do when it's your love through our hearts. Lord, help us to become brand new. Help us to receive your Holy Spirit in our life and to follow your plan in your name. Amen.